23. Come we that love the Lord, let's all stand together. Number 23.
Psalm 115 for our scripture reading tonight. Psalm 115. While you find that, I'll make a few announcements. First of all, I want to welcome our brethren who are joining us in Sarasota. I'm so thankful and encouraged by them and by what the Lord's doing over there. I want to remind you to pray for them as they do for you. Also, next week is Thanksgiving, and we will not be having our regular Wednesday night service a week from tonight. Okay, no services a week from tonight. And this coming Sunday, I'll be preaching, as most of you know, in Lexington, and Robert and Michael will be bringing the messages here. So the Lord enables you to pray for us. That would be much coveted. So please be in prayer for the services up there and for Robert and Michael who will be preaching here. And Fred and Mary Jane are going to be here tonight for their last night before they go home for the holidays. But Fred's having some skin cancer taking off tomorrow, and they weren't able to be here tonight. So, but you won't see them till after the first of the year. So. All right, you have your Bibles open to Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. It's not about you, and it's not about me. Don't we need to hear that? I mean, every one of us wake up in the morning, we open our eyes, and we just interpret everything as us being in the middle of our universe. And God says, it's not about us. It's not about us. But unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where now is their God? But our God, he's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Everything that's happening is happening according to the good pleasure of our God. The natural man can't see him, and so he doesn't believe in him. But through the eyes of faith, we know that he is, and we know that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. What a description of man-made idols. There's no life to them, no power to them, no strength to them. Just like the men that make them. No power to them, no strength to them, no life in them. O Israel, there's for the people of God. Trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. God's people do grow in grace, and they do grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, more and more dependent upon Him, and more of His glory is seen and believed in their hearts. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth have He given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silent. But we will bless the Lord for this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Oh, merciful Heavenly Father, we ask that You would send Your Spirit and power, enabling us to believe what You have proclaimed. Truly, Lord, we need to be reminded that it's not unto us, but unto Thy name be glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Lord, if You would be pleased to enable us to set our affections on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, that we would find in Him our all in all, that You would give us faith to trust Him, to rest in Him, to believe that the work of redemption has been finished by Him. For truly, Lord, our hope and all our salvation is bound up in Thy dear Son. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
We'll sing hymn number 224 from the hardback hymnal. 224. Let's all stand.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made. That He is able. unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night for noonday prayer, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Please be seated.
Will you turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11, please? Romans chapter 11. I've titled this message, The Summary of Everything. And I don't use that title in order to be exaggerating or to try to be clever. I'm almost titled this, Everything You Need to Know About Everything. Well, that's the truth. That's the truth. Everything you need to know about everything. Everything you need to know about creation. Everything you need to know about providence. All the details of your life. Everything you need to know about salvation is found in God's Word in one simple phrase. And it's there in your Bibles in Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. Now, as we speak, the most brilliant minds in the world are spending their lives and their fortune, and our fortune as well, on a desperate search to discover what they call the theory of everything. Have you heard of it? That's what they call it, the theory of everything. There's too many holes in every other theory that they've come to, so they're looking in the physical world in order to explain the reason for the existence of everything. And they're calling it the theory of everything. And when they find it, it will be just that. It'll be a theory, just like all the theories that men have now. It'll be nothing more than a hypothesis. It'll be a speculation. It'll be something that they have schemed in their own minds. And here, the Lord has given to us in such simple language, not the theory of everything, but the actual summary of everything. There it is, right there. Of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. Now, Solomon tried to figure out the truth of this world and how it all fit together, and after the wisest man that ever lived, the Scripture says. You talk about a man who had an intellect. Here's a man who God said, God blessed him with wisdom beyond anybody else. And he concluded, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And that's exactly what men's pursuits are. They're trying to figure out what's the cause of things, what's the purpose of things, what's the meaning of things. And the Lord has given us in one simple statement. There it is. Of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. Now, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. They're much like Pilate. When truth, the very person and essence of truth, was standing right in front of him, Pilate said, "Truth? There's no such thing as truth. Don't you know that there's no absolutes in this life? Everything's up for speculation." And Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 1. He said, "The foolishness of God, the things that men call foolish." You're telling me that everything that I need to know, everything I need to know, the summary of everything is in that statement? Of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things? Yep. That's too simple. That's too foolish. And God says, the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. If the Lord's pleased to teach us what this verse means, then we will have wisdom as to what we need to know about everything. About everything. I'm talking about everything. Everything in life is summarized in this one verse. Of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. Let's begin with verse 29. For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. The Lord's never repented. He's never changed His mind. He's never had a new thought. He's never gone to plan B. The callings and the gifts of God are without repentance. He said, I change not. We have an immutable God who reigns sovereign over the affairs of all men. And He said, I change not, and therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Moses put it like this in Numbers chapter 23. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? He's not a man like us. Oh, you thought that I was altogether as thyself. And so you fashioned a God that had hands like you, and mouths like you, and eyes like you, but they couldn't do anything with them. Just like you can't do anything with yours. Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are past finding out. That's right here in our text. Look, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. For as He in times past as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. The Lord has turned to the Gentiles, and He's given them faith to believe the gospel. Even so, have these also not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy? God has elect people. This whole chapter of Romans chapter 11 is talking about spiritual Israel. Not talking about national Israel. It's talking about spiritual Israel. And he goes on to say that all Israel shall be saved. And if the Lord has withdrawn his presence from one group and manifest himself to another, it's all part of his purpose in saving his people. The callings and the gifts of God are without repentance. He's going to accomplish his purpose in his way and in his time, so that of him and through him and to him are all things. For look at verse 32. God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. If we're going to be saved, it'll be by the mercy of God. Because apart from him, apart from his intervention, as we saw Sunday, we can't believe. We won't believe. We're all bound up in unbelief. Unless the Lord's merciful to demonstrate his grace in the hearts of his people, no one will be saved. And then he brings it to this crescendo of glory, this benediction, when he says, "Oh, the depths! Who can plumb the depths of both the wisdom and the riches and the knowledge of God? Who can do it? It's infinite. It's infinite, just like he's infinite. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. No man can know the ways of God." Unless the only thing we're going to know about him is what he's pleased to show us. And what he's pleased to show us, he will show us in the person and work of his own dear Son. Oh, Lord, show me Christ. Reveal to me who he is, so that I will know of who these things are, through whom these things are, and to whom these things are. All things. All things. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Now, I've made this statement before, but I think it's so glorious to think about. God has never, ever had a new thought. No one's ever taught him anything. He's never learned anything. He is the glorious I Am. he's everything in himself all at one time. And that's what he's talking about here. Of him and through him and to him are all things. And what's the rest of this verse say? To whom be glory forever. You know, sinners are just, they're brought to bow to this glorious truth. They're just brought, to not only believe it, but rejoice in it. Yes, Lord. Yes. Of Christ and through Christ and to Christ are all things, to the glory of him. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. It's about God. It's about God. And the only, herein is life eternal. Here's life. And here's life that lasts forever, to know God, the only true God, not the idols that men fabricate in their imagination, but the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. He's what it's all about. Oh, and if the Lord gives us faith to believe that, to bow as a mercy beggar, to bow as a sinner in His presence, and to believe that everything is of Him, everything is through Him, and everything is to Him. Oh, you talk about peace of mind. You talk about comfort for a sinner's soul. You talk about complete understanding. Complete understanding. In this one statement, it's concise. It's condensed. It's comprehensive. It's everything is in this statement. Everything you need to know is in this statement. Of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. Oh, the Lord, would the Lord give us the grace to believe this? Would He enable us to just bow and say, oh, that's so simple, but it's so glorious. The hope that it gives to the hopeless, the food that it gives to the hungry, the peace that it gives to those who are at enmity with God, the rest that it provides for the weary soul. Oh, yeah. And the natural man, I know what they say. That's too simple. That's too simple. It's the simplicity of Christ. For truly, all things in creation, all things in providence, and all things in salvation, everything, everything is of Him, through Him, and to Him. Everything. Of Him. He's the origin. That's what that means. Three little simple prepositions here in this one verse, isn't there? Of, through, and to. Just remember those three words. Of, through, and to. And the word of means that He's the author. He's the creator. Everything originated in Him. There was a time. We can't even speak of it because I just already confused eternity by inserting the word time. But there was a time when there was no time, if that can make sense to you. We can't comprehend eternity. But before time, before the angels were ever made, before man was created, before the earth was made, before the stars were put into the sky, before anything, God is. He just is. Of Him. Of Him. He's the origin. He's the first cause of everything in creation. If the Lord could give us faith to believe the first few words of the Bible, we wouldn't have any trouble with any rest of it. In the beginning. Now that phrase is used all throughout the Scripture to describe, that's God's language telling us how it was before time ever came to be. In the beginning, God created. Of Him. In creation, everything is of Him. The Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ was the voice that said, let there be light. Let there be light. And there was. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Of Him in creation are all things. Of Him in providence are all things. Of Him in providence. Now I'm talking about everything that's taken place in your life today. Everything that's taken place in everyone's life today. Everything that's ever taken place in the history of mankind. And everything that's going to take place tomorrow and the next day, if the Lord tarries, will be of Him. Of Him. Do you believe that? This one statement, these three little prepositions describe, they explain everything. of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things in creation and in providence. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you will, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Everything. A time to be born and a time to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow. A time to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in there, in that wherein he laboreth? Is it what he's saying is, you're not going to change what God has purposed in providence. Here we labor. That's what Solomon's talking about. Vanity of it. You're not going to change the things that God's purposed in time. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Oh, how hard we try. How hard we try to change the events of time. And God says, it's all of me. It's all of me. And look at the next verse. For he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to the end. Oh, of him. Of him in creation and in providence. Nebuchadnezzar put it like this in Daniel chapter 4. He said, his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. The inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. They're reputed as nothing. He hath done according to his will with the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And no man can say unto him, what doeth thou? And no man can stay his hand. No man's going to change what God's purposed. Of him. Everything in creation, everything in providence is of him. Man makes his plans. We do. We plan. We should be irresponsible. We should prepare and plan and pray. But God orders his steps. Don't say, I'm going to do this and that. Say, if the Lord wills, I'll do it. If the Lord wills, I'll do it. The scripture says the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. One of the ways that the Lord gave the Israelites to discern God's will was the casting of lots. And you might think, well, that's just a game of chance. No. No, the lot lands in the lap, but the whole disposing of it is of the Lord. It was the Lord that determined how that lot would turn out and what would be done as a result of it. Of him. Of him in creation. Of him in providence is all things, and most importantly, of him in salvation. In salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. God in the covenant of grace purposed to save a people. Of God. There would be no salvation had the Lord not purposed it. Had the Lord not ordained it. Everything that happens in time has already happened in eternity. It already happened. in creation, in providence. Now, I've told you what that word providence means. It's pro-video. Pro means before, video means to see. The movie's already in the can. It's already in the can. Okay. Of Him? That explains everything. It's of God. Everything is of Him. Everything in creation, everything in providence, everything in salvation. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. He said, we are separated unto the gospel of God. If God had not purposed in the covenant of grace to save a particular people, if He had not chosen them and elected them, salvation's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. There's no way. There's no way for you and I to put away our sin. There's no way for you and I to satisfy the demands of God's righteousness. Salvation must be of the Lord. It must be purposed of Him. From before time ever started, it was purposed of Him. I get a little bit of humor and disgust at the same time from these self-professed theologians. Books have been written on the order of decrees. And they've got long theological names to describe these orders of decrees. And men sit around and they discuss, well, now, did God ordain the fall before He ordained election, or did creation happen first and then God did such and such? All that does is demonstrate that those men have no idea who God is. What they're doing is they're trying to define God in their own terms. And they've made God to have a hand like their hand. They've made God to have a mind like their mind. They've made our God to have time like their time. There's no order to decrees. The Lord does. He doesn't plan things like we plan things. You know, we talk about God planning something. God's never planned anything. He purposes it. And it's all purposed, if you will, simultaneously out of His own nature. It's of Him. Salvation is of the Lord. Our God has never been taught anything. He's never had to consult a counselor. He's never learned anything. He's never had a new thought. He's God. Of Him. Of Him. He's the author. He's the origin. He's the first cause of everything in creation, everything in providence, and everything in salvation. It's all of Him. It's all of Him. That's why Paul said all the depths of the riches, you see that? Of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, who can plumb it? They're unsearchable. His ways are past finding out. This is not something that we're to try to understand, or something we're trying to figure out or comprehend. Oh, He's far beyond that. He's unsearchable. No. This is a glorious truth of who our God is that's just to be believed. Believed. Everything is of God. Everything is through God. Everything is through Him. If the preposition of means that He's the origin of it, and that he's the first cause of it, He's the purpose of it, then the word through means that He's the means. He's the instrument by which He carries out His purpose. He's the agent. It's His hand that carries out everything in creation, in providence, and in salvation. And so everything is not only of Him, but everything is through Him. In other words, when God said, "Let there be light," and there was, that was the first day of creation. You know, the intelligent men of this world will tell you that that the reason we know that the universe has been around billions of years or millions of years is because we know that it takes that long for light to get to us from those distant galaxies. And the fact that we can see those galaxies means that we're looking at things that took place millions of years ago. You know, the stars and the sun and the moon weren't made until the fourth day. The first day, light was made. They're judging everything on the theory of light. And light was there before what we know to be the source of light was ever created. It was through God. It wasn't just of Him. It's through Him. Let there be light. He's the source of all light in creation. Turn to me to Colossians chapter 1, if you will. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Now, there's a simple enough explanation. Everything, the angels, the devils, the things we see, the things that we don't see, everything was created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Those men that are looking for the theory of everything, they're trying to discover what they call the God particle. By Him all things consist. God's not going to be found out in a telescope or a microscope. He's only going to be known by faith. Only going to be known by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look at John chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning. What's that mean? Before time was the Word. That's Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, normally we think of having light before life, but here the Scripture tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the life, and in Him is the light. If we're to get any light on understanding the summary of all things, it'll be because He shed the light of Himself in our hearts and reveal to us His glory as the one who is the originator of all things, the cause of everything. He's the one that sustains everything. He's the means to everything. Everything in creation. Everything in providence. Everything in the circumstances of your life. Oh, that the Lord would give us faith to believe that. That unexpected event that took place that derailed you, that thing that you thought, you know, I didn't see it coming. God saw it coming. He sent it to you. He brought it your way. has evil come to the city and the Lord has not caused it? He's the cause of everything in providence. Now, I know the natural man says, well, my God's not like that. I don't doubt that He's not. The problem is the God you worship is not the God who is. Because the God who is has everything to do with everything that happens in time. Has evil come to the city and the Lord's not caused it? As difficult and as sad as it is for us to experience these things and to see other men experience. You think the Lord didn't have something to do with what happened in Paris this past? Oh, He had everything to do with it. Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Everything in providence is to Him. The Scripture says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He wills. You think our president's making decisions on his own? That's not what God says. He said, the king's heart's in my hand. I turn it wherever I want it to go. You think the decisions that Putin's making are somehow... You see, this is a summary of everything. This is everything you need to know about everything. Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Everything. He works all things together after the counsel of His own will. And when these words were being penned by the Apostle Paul, the Emperor Caligula was murdering Christians by the thousands. Nero and Paul said, of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Paul didn't point to the evil Roman emperors and say, look what they're doing. He said, God did it. God did it. What else do you need to know? See, this is the summary of everything. This is everything you need to know about everything. Of Him, He's the origin of everything in creation. He's the origin of everything in providence. He's the origin of everything in salvation. Through Him, He's the means by which everything in creation came to be. He's the means by which everything in providence comes to be. And oh, bless God, He's the means by which everything in salvation comes to be. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He's the one who laid down His life for the sheep. He's the one who satisfied all the demands of God's law and presented Himself before the Father as our righteousness. He's the one who bore the full wrath of God's justice on Calvary's cross. You see, of Him, He purposed salvation, and He is the means of our salvation. He suffered the full wrath of God's justice. He put away our sins by the sacrifice of Himself once and for all. So that of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. All things. This is not hyperbole. This is not exaggerated speech. God's not speaking in such a way to try to... It's not a shock factor. God doesn't talk like that. He doesn't try to shock us with exaggerated speech. He's telling us the simple, simple, simple truth of how things are. Do you believe that? Of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. Through Him, He finished the work. He finished the work that the Father gave to Him. He sanctified His people. When He died on Calvary's cross, everyone that God purposed in the covenant of grace of Him was through Him. All God's elect died in Christ. Every single one of them. All God's elect were raised again in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that's happening in time when we profess faith in Christ is already happened. It happened at the cross. It happened in the covenant of grace. Why? Because of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. All things. So that He that sanctifieth, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and they that are sanctified, He was offered up for our offenses and raised again for our justification. We are sanctified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, are all as one. Wherefore He's not ashamed to be called their brethren. You say, it's too simple. That's what simple sinners need, isn't it? You know, that's the thing about it. Knowledge puffs up. Men love to, you know, they love to boast in how much they know. And they love to, you know, complicate things. And it's worse in religion than anywhere else. Religion's so complicated. It's so convoluted. It's, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. No! Of Him! Through Him and to Him are all things. It's not the theory of everything. This is the summary of everything. This is everything you need to know about everything. To Him. That speaks of the purpose. The purpose for which all things are of Him. The purpose for which all things are through Him is that all things would be to Him. To Him. To His glory. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's all to His glory. All things were made by Him and for Him. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that men are left without excuse. Everything in creation screams of His glory. Screams of His glory. Everything that He's done in His handiwork demonstrates His, it was all to Him. He didn't create all of this. You know, somebody asked me one time, they said, don't you think that there's life on other, I mean, there's billions of planets out there. Surely there's got to be another planet that has this like ours and be life on it. I said, no, I don't believe that. So why would God go to all the trouble of making all those billions of planets if there wasn't life somewhere else? I said, what trouble? What trouble? No trouble to Him. He spoke, and it was. And he put it all there to glorify Himself. It was of Him. It was through Him. And it's to Him. The purpose of everything He's done is to bring about His glory. And that's true in providence. It's not just true in creation. Oh, Lord, give me the faith to believe that all things really do work together for good for them that love You and those that are called according to Your purpose. See, that's not just our good. Our greatest good is His greatest glory. It's to Him. The events of life are to Him. That's why He said, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And patience, when it is complete, makes you what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking in nothing. Why? Because you're able to rest in knowing that it's all of Him, it's all through Him, and it's all to Him. and everything that's happened in the history of creation. Though we may not be able to see it all right now, we know by faith that He's done it all. And in the end, it's all going to be to His glory. Every single bit of it. Particularly in the area of salvation. Oh, it's going to be to Him. The Lord didn't go through what He went through just in order to save us. He did it to glorify Himself. He's going to parade His bride before all of creation one day as the trophy of His grace. It's to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's why He saves the people. God gave the Son a bride for His glory. This is not about us. It's about Him. It's about Him. It's of Him. He's the origin. He's the first cause of everything. In creation, in providence, in election, in salvation. It's all through Him. He's done it all. He holds everything together in creation. He orders every event of everything in providence. And He fulfilled everything necessary for the salvation of His people. Everything. Every single thing that God requires from you and from me is found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. There's nothing else. You can't add to it. Can't take away from it. Why? It's through Him. And it's to Him. Everything in creation points to His glory. Everything in providence, through the eyes of faith, point to His glory. One day we'll see it. Oh, Lord, now I see. When we see Him in all of His splendor, and we're made like Him, I think one of the things we're going to acknowledge, oh, that's what it was all about. That's what it was all about. Your glory, Your praise. And we're going to join our voices with that choir in heaven. Hallelujah to the Lamb. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Whom be glory forever and ever. You see that in the last verse there? Forever and ever. What do God's people say to that? Everything you need to know about everything. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that You would give to Your people faith to believe the simplicity of what You've declared in Your Word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Tom? In the Sopact hymnal, let's stand. 129.
We'll just sing the four verses and skip the refrain. Let's all stand together.
Rejoice, my soul, in every state. Our God remains unmoved. No turns of providence abate God's care for those He loved. To His decree God will surety knows. for whom he gave his life, and we who trust his precious blood possess eternal life. I am the Lord, and I change not. Is God's own promise sure? The word of God I cannot doubt. His people are secure.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yeah, it is. I like that. It's very, very good.